wages and gifts. I think all of us are very familiar with these two words and the concepts that are connected with these two words, wages and gifts. So if I would ask you this morning, well, what are wages? Wages are a payment received in return for work that you render. A gift, on the other hand, is quite different, isn't it? If I'd ask you, well, what is a gift? A gift that is something that is given to us without any type of payment, without any type of work rendered to receive that gift. The question is, which is better, to earn wages or to receive gifts? Which is better? What do you think? Let's pause and think about this just for a short time. As we think about earning wages for ourselves, or for ourselves and for our families, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And I think we'd all be agreed that it's a good thing to have a job, to earn wages, to provide for ourselves and for our families and perhaps others. Not only is it just a good thing, this is a scriptural mandate. This is something that God has told us to do. We think about what the Apostle Paul says. A person should work with his hands so that he's able to provide for his own needs and then for the needs of others. We read this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In another place, we read this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So it's a good thing if you're able to work and then provide for your own needs. That's a good thing. God tells us that should be the case. So wages, we have an idea about what wages involve and the scriptural idea about earning wages. Well, what about receiving gifts? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing to receive a gift? Now, the children that just went downstairs, if you'd ask them, do you like to receive gifts? What would they tell you right away? They would say, I love to receive gifts. Most children are eager for two events throughout the year. The first one is Christmas, right? And why do they love Christmas so much? Many times it's because of the gifts that they receive. Another event that children oftentimes look forward to is their birthday. And why do they love birthdays so much? A lot of times it's because they receive what? They receive gifts. Now, as we get a little bit older, maybe we don't look forward to Christmas or birthdays quite as much because, you know, the gifts just don't have the same appeal to us. And as we think about birthdays, we don't necessarily want to think about getting a year older. But even not looking at that, as adults, a lot of times we don't necessarily think about receiving gifts as, you know, we realize receiving gift, if we have a need, that's a blessing, right? But many times we'd prefer to give a gift as opposed to receive a gift. At least that's where a lot of people are at. We realize the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I think especially of those that I've known in the older generations, those that would be my senior quite a few years, and a lot of older folks, at least of those past generations, they would view receiving gifts negatively. For them, to receive a gift is to receive charity, and charity is not respectable. And if you try to give something to someone like this, either they're going to refuse it or they're going to give you something in return. And in reality, what are they doing? They're kind of nullifying the gift. They're paying you for the gift in a sense. But there are others, as we especially think about those in the younger generations. Now, this isn't always the case, but a lot of people in the younger generations, they view gifts quite differently because they expect to be given things, right? They think, this is what I deserve. I deserve all the things that my parents have, and I deserve even more. A lot of times that's what the younger generation thinks. Not all in the younger generation, but a lot of people think that way. Even people in the older generation think that way sometimes. So what is better, to earn wages or to receive a gift? Well, it depends, doesn't it? And based on what we've just discussed, some would say, well, it's better to earn wages than to receive a gift. But really, either way, in a lot of cases, there's nothing wrong with either earning wages or receiving gifts. Both of them are good things. But as we look at this in a slightly different light, from a different perspective, we can say without any doubt that it's much better to receive a gift than to earn wages. Now, I'm not talking about earning money. I'm not talking about receiving money or material possessions. That's not what I'm talking about now. What we're talking about now is spiritual wages and spiritual gifts, the gift of eternal life. So instead of earning money, I'm talking about earning death. Instead of receiving money, I'm talking about receiving the gift of eternal life. And which of those two is better? Well, of course, receiving the gift of eternal life is so much better than receiving what we earn by way of sin, which is death. How much better it is to receive the gift of eternal life than to receive our earned wages, the wages of sin, which is death. No doubt you're thinking of the verse, and I have it on the walls here for us, Romans 6 and verse 23. We probably have memorized this at one point in time in our lives. For the wages of sin is what? It is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a very short verse, but in this very short verse, if you look at the words, you notice there are three sets of contrasts here. Notice the contrast between wages and gift. Notice the contrast between sin and God, and the contrast between death and eternal life. And if we put all those together, we have two very stark contrasts. What a huge difference between the wages of sin being death, on the one hand, and the gift of eternal life, the gift of God, which comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's ponder upon this truth just briefly this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we focus on the first part of this verse. I think it's helpful for us to think about a situation in everyday life where people receive wages, they receive their paycheck. Now, I think most all of us have had jobs of one sort or another, and we've received paychecks of one sort or another. So if we are receiving wages, if we're receiving the payment for our work, sometimes we receive those wages or a payment from a single individual. And that single individual could be called our boss in many cases, right? Or if we work for a large company, our paycheck or what's put into our checking account, what's put into our account, a lot of times that would come from this big company and their checking account or their savings account. So as we think about working for those that we're employed by, as we think about receiving wages for that work performed, many times we're in a subordinate position to our employer, right? So if we do work for somebody, we have to do what they tell us to do. We're under that person or that company's authority. And if we do the job and if we do it well, then we're going to receive wages. We'll receive our payment. Now, as Paul talks about the wages of sin being death, it seems as if Paul, in a very, very real sense, is personifying sin. So sin is the boss. Sin is the one in control. And we are the ones that are doing work for our boss, who is sin. We're placing ourselves under sin's authority so that we might be paid. And so sin has a boss or a master. That boss, sin, promotes the wages that he pays. He's talking up his job. He's talking up the payment. And a lot of times sin promotes the wages that he gives as something that is fulfilling. It's enjoyable. Those who work for sin, this boss, a lot of people would say, well, my wages are good. They're appealing. Usually sin's workers are quite pleased with what they receive in response, in return, or at least for a time they are. And it's very true that the pleasures of sin are for a season. There is a certain pleasure in sin, but it's not pleasurable for all time, is it? In the end, the payment that sin distributes is very bitter and it's very painful. You think about those who have died as sinners, they realize that what sin pays is far from desirable. It's separation from God and all that God is and all that he provides. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we understand now that whenever we were under the mastery of sin, whenever we were working for sin, whenever we were earning those wages of sin, it was death, it was separation from God, it was bitterness and heartache. If we sin as a way of life, we're going to get a paycheck eventually, and that paycheck is nothing other than death. So what does sin get us? What does sin pay? Sin separates us from a holy God. Sin cuts us off from the life of God. Sin cuts us off from the blessing of God. Sin separates us from anything and everything that is good. That is what sin pays out, death. Now, as we think about sinners who are lost in their sins, sinners who are still under the mastery of sin, who are recognizing sin as their master or Lord, they don't really realize what the payment is. They don't understand that the wages of sin is death. They continue on in their sin. They don't realize it's going to end in death, or even in the present, it's death. But as ones who have trusted in Jesus Christ, we understand the truth that to sin has a payment. And that payment is very grievous. It is separation from God and all that he provides for us, everything good. So sin means separation from God. It means death. It means suffering and heartache. So what believer in the right mind would choose sin over obedience to God? But yet, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us at times sin. None of us have been freed from sin. Yes, we've been freed from the penalty of sin in Jesus Christ, but we still have the power of sin, or at least the presence of sin. We no longer under sin's power either as a believer in Jesus Christ. But to choose to sin instead of obey God, that's a height of foolishness, isn't it? It's a pinnacle of stupidity, because sin is no longer our boss. We're no longer under sin's mastery. He's not in control. So as believers, we need to serve God, not sin, because sin can only bring death. That's what it pays out. As we read in Romans chapter 6 earlier in the passage, Paul says this in verses 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And Paul says, "God forbid, may that never be said. May that never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The wages of sin is death." And if we've trusted in Jesus Christ, then we have died with Christ. Sin is no longer our master. So as we think about believers in Christ, who we are in Christ, we don't want to earn wages in the spiritual sense, do we? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. As believers, we know that it's far better to accept a gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's think about gifts for just a very brief moment. Now, if we receive a gift, how much work do we have to put into it to receive that gift? When we think about a work week is usually how many hours? 40 hours. So do we have to put in 40 hours to receive a gift? Do we have to put in a full lifetime of work to receive a gift? Do we have to put in even an hour or a minute to receive a gift? And the answer is very evident. A gift, if it's truly a gift, it's free. We don't have to work for it. So how much effort is expended in receiving a gift? Do we have to work a sweat to receive a gift? Do we have to work to the point of exhaustion? Do we have to exert ourselves so that we are gifted with something? And the answer is obvious. We don't have to exert any effort in order to receive a gift. A gift is just offered to us and we receive it. So to think that you have to work for a gift, that you have to expend effort for a gift, that contradicts the very notion of what a gift is. If someone truly is giving you something, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to exert effort for it. You just have to receive it. A gift is a gift. And a gift is freely given by the giver. That's what a true gift is. A gift is given because the giver is being gracious. It's the good favor of the giver that gives that gift. Now, that's the way it should be in all types of gift giving. Although sometimes we realize when it comes to human relations, sometimes somebody offers you a gift, but they have ulterior motives. But whenever God offers a gift, whenever he gives that gift, there's no strings attached. It's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Paul talks about some of the difference between work and grace, work and free gifts in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." So if you work, you have a paycheck coming to you. It's not that the boss is being gracious to you. No, he owes that money to you, that he owns that payment to you. Paul says in verse 6, "And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So you work, you earn something for yourself. If you receive a gift, it's all by grace. So whenever God offers this gift of eternal life, he requires no work. He requires no money or effort. All that he requires is that you accept this gift of grace. We read in Romans chapter 11, actually I think that's what I just read, I got mixed up in the passage here. Romans 11 verses 5 and 6. Verse 6 says, if by grace it's no more of works. But verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Very clear in the scriptures the difference between work and a gift given by grace. Another very familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is what? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't it wonderful that God offers a gift to the world, the gift of eternal life? God's gift requires no work. It's offered solely on the goodness of his grace. So God offers the gift of eternal life. Now God is eternal. He's without beginning or end. He is the great I am. And the gift that God offers is eternal life. So life without end. Those who accept the gift of eternal life will experience endless days of joy and peace in God's very presence. Those who accept the gift of eternal life will enjoy God's abundant provision for all of eternity. They will experience his joy and his peace. That's what eternal life involves, and so much more. Eternal life is to know God and to be in harmony with God, to enjoy God, to enjoy all the things that he has to offer us. And all that lost sinners need to do is accept the free gift. How much better is it to accept the free gift of eternal life than to say, I'm going to be working and earning the bitter wages of my sin? But how many sinners refuse to accept God's free gift and instead continue to sin and sin and sin? And in sinning, what are they doing? They're earning for themselves eternal damnation. They're earning for themselves wages, the wages of death. Now, as we think about God's eternal gift, his gift of eternal life through Jesus, it's only possible through Jesus, as I just mentioned. In Jesus and in him alone is true life. In Christ alone is their fellowship and harmony with God the Father. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples in John, John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the only way to have true life, eternal life. So how can this life be offered in Jesus? Well, it's because of who Jesus is. It's because of what Jesus has done. Do you remember when Jesus talked with Nicodemus? John chapter 3, we read this in verse 13. Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So here is Jesus. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is perfect God who became flesh. And Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, referring to his death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You think of that, the imagery that Jesus referred to, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So you remember when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, and the Israelites were prone to complaining and sinning in all different types of ways. And as a result of one of their times of sinning, God sent fiery serpents among them, deadly serpents, and they bit the people. And the only way that they could be cured of those deadly serpent bites was by looking up at a brazen serpent that Moses had constructed. And whoever looked at that serpent would be cured of his snake bites. Well, Jesus said, just like that brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so too will I be lifted up on the cross. And whoever looks to me for deliverance, looks to me for salvation, will be given life, life eternal. What a wonderful gift. It's because Jesus died and rose again, that God is able to offer a gift of eternal life. The question is, have you received this gift? The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you realize that as a sinner, you earn for yourself wages, you earn for yourself eternal death. But Jesus, whenever he died on the cross, he bore that penalty. He died in your place. And Jesus, whenever he died and then rose again, he made it possible for God to offer to everyone the gift of eternal life. Whoever believes on him has that life. Have you done that yet? So is it better to earn wages, or is it better to receive a gift? Well, in our everyday lives, there may not be really a right or wrong reason or right or wrong answer to that question. You know, it's good to both earn wages and receive gifts as long as it's done the right way. But when we talk spiritually, who would want to continue earning the wages of sin, which is eternal death? Who would want to continue down that road whenever God offers something infinitely better, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? The forgiveness of sins, eternal life, joy and peace, perfect harmony with God the Father. This morning we rejoice in the wonderful, amazing gift of eternal life in Jesus. We thank God for this gift. Have you received it? If you have, let us rejoice in God's goodness. Let us rejoice in Jesus, our Savior.